Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to see all of you gathered here today for this satsang, for this Bhakti Vriksha group. So many eager and sincere devotees. It is such a joy and a pleasure to see. You don't see this every day on the streets of Melbourne or in any other place. It is very rare to find devotees of Krishna, and especially those who have made it the goal of their life to become a pure devotee of Krishna. There may be many devotees of Krishna, but they have so many other desires. I saw here Tirupati Balaji on the altar, and I was remembering one story that there was one businessman who went to Balaji. And you know, in business you do deals. You strike deals with your customers. So you are so accustomed to striking deals that sometimes you strike a deal with God also. So he struck a deal with God. And he said, "Oh Lord Balaji, Lord Venkateshwara," he said, "I will worship you and I have been worshipping you. But now there is one business deal that I am about to go and negotiate. If I get 10 lakh rupees from that, then I will give you 5 lakhs. So please give me this business contract." So he went back, and as it happened, that business contract gave him only 5 lakh rupees. And the 50% that he was to give to Tirupati Balaji, he didn't give. When the time comes to give, then everybody backs out. When the time comes to take, then everybody is very eager. So Balaji was wondering, when is he going to come to give me 2.5 lakhs? He said he will give me 50%. And one day, after many months, he went to see Balaji. And when he was taking darshan, then Lord Balaji told him, "Hey, what happened? I am still waiting." So then the businessman replied, "My Lord, you already took the 50% before. So therefore now there is no need for me to give you anything." The idea was that he had hoped for 10 lakhs, but he got only 5 lakhs. So he said, "Anyway, Lord Balaji has taken away the 5 lakhs. So, okay, he was a devotee, but still not a pure devotee. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna talks about two kinds of devotees of Lord Krishna. Those who come to Lord Krishna with some material motive, and those who come with no material motive. Those who come only to serve Krishna for His pleasure. The first kind of devotee is called a Sukritina or as a Mishra Bhakta. Mishra Bhakta means that his bhakti or devotion to the Lord is mixed. It is mixed with some selfish motive. There is some selfishness there. And he is a Sukritana also, because even if someone has some desire to fulfill, some material desire, only those who are very pious will go to God to fulfill that desire. So this businessman who wanted to strike a deal with God, at least to get some money, he came to Balaji and asked him. He didn't go and rob a bank, or he didn't go and steal money from somewhere. So even though he came, he asked for money, at least he came to Krishna or to Balaji to ask. That itself is a big thing. So Lord Krishna says, "Chaturvidha bhajante mam janah sukritino arjuna arto arthardhi jinyasu jnani cha bharatarshaha." He says there are four types of people who come to me. And one is Artha, one who is distressed. He is very sorry or aggrieved about something. He is very sad, very distressed. He comes to me for relief from distress. Another category is called the Artharthi, one who wants something material from me, like money and so on. Another is called the Jigyasu, one who is very curious to know. And the fourth is the Jnani, who has some knowledge. He may not be 100% pure devotee, but he is based in knowledge. So all these four types of people are called Sukritina. Kritina means one who does some very special kind of activity. Sukritina means one who does some very good special kind of activity. Because a special kind of activity may be good or it may be bad. If somebody plants a bomb in a plane and blows up 300 people, that is also a special activity. But it is a bad special activity. It is called Dushkritina. Dushkriti. But if someone does something exceptional that is a good activity, that is called Sukriti. So one who does a Sukriti is called a Sukritina. So those, even if they have some material desires to fulfill, but they come to Lord Krishna, that itself is a very major thing. So these people are Sukritina. They come to Krishna because they have a background of some pious activities. They have a background of some kind of little devotional service to Lord Krishna. Otherwise, why would he have come to Krishna? He would have done something else. So this is one kind of devotee of Lord Krishna, a mixed devotee. But we do not want to become like that. That is not the goal of our life. When we come to Krishna, we don't come to do some business with Krishna. When the Lord appeared before Prahlad Maharaj in the form of Narsimhadev, and he destroyed Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakashipu's army, he was very pleased with Prahlad. And Prahlad Maharaj offered him many nice prayers. And when the Lord asked him, when the Lord asked him as to what would you like from me, what benedictions would you like from me? So Prahlad says, my dear Lord, I am not a businessman. I have not come here to do some business with you. So Prahlad is our guru. He is the guru of the whole universe. He was only a 5-year-old boy. He was like this boy only. But he was everybody's guru. So, such a great guru, because he gave such an important lesson to the whole world, even though he was a small boy. Dhruva Maharaj also was only 5 years old when he became a pure devotee. And there was another boy I'll tell you about, whose name was Gopal. He also was a pure devotee, even though he was a small boy only. What happened was that one time, this boy Gopal, he saw one devotee of Krishna who was going somewhere, but he was holding his tongue with his fingers like this. So this boy was curious to know that, why are you holding your tongue with your fingers like this? He said, you see, my tongue is constantly chanting the names of Krishna. And now I'm going to the toilet. The toilet is not a clean place. So because I'm going to use the toilet and I'm constantly chanting the names of Krishna helplessly, so I don't want to chant do some pure activity in an impure place. So therefore I'm holding the tongue. So Gopal was only like this boy, 5 years old. How old are you? Six? 7 years old. Maybe he was seven also. So this boy, Gopal, immediately replied. He said, but what would happen if you died in the toilet. Why did Gopal say this? Because he knew that when we die, we must think of Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajityante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. O Arjuna, whatever you think of at the time of death, that state you will attain in the next life. Antakale cha mam eva smaran mukva kalevaram ya prayati samad bhavam yati nastyatra sanshayaha. And Arjuna, if you think of me at the time of death, Krishna says, then you will come back to me. You will come back to my Goloka Vrindavan, spiritual world. You will get out of this cycle of birth and death. So then as devotees, we are asked to practice remembering Krishna with love so that it will become such a habit for us that we will not be able to stop thinking of Krishna. So that even at the time of death, we will remember Krishna with love. Then we need not come back and take birth in this material world. So little Gopal understood this very well. So he told the devotee, what will happen if you die in the toilet? So it's an impure place. But even though it's an impure place, you have to think of Krishna when you die. The name of Krishna is so pure that you can chant it in any place, in any circumstance. There is no problem. In fact, by chanting the holy names of Krishna, you will purify all places. The holy name of the Lord should be chanted everywhere and anywhere, in all circumstances, at all times. There is no rules and regulations for chanting the holy name of the Lord. So he began to instruct this grown-up devotee. And the grown-up devotee was very impressed. He said, yes, Gopal, you are absolutely right. So he removed his fingers from his mouth and happily chanting, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, he went to the toilet. Soon the word spread everywhere. And the word also reached the ears of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy to hear this. This boy was living in Jagannath Puri. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, from today, your name shall be Gopal Guru. Because you have become our Guru by teaching us some wonderful truths about Lord Krishna. So after that, everybody started calling him Gopal Guru. And later when the boy grew up, he took sannyas. And his name became Gopal Guru Goswami. And he managed the mutt in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to live. How many of you have been to Jagannath Puri? Very few. Have you been to the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to stay? Have you been? Yes, you know the name of the place? His room was called Gambhira. Gambhira. It was one small room. And that was inside a temple. It was a mutt, a monastery. It was called Radha Radha Kant Mutt. It was the house of Kashi Mishra, one great devotee. And after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's departure, sometime after that, then this Gopal Guru Goswami became the head of that mutt. So this is the story of Gopal Guru. So it shows us that even a small child can actually become the Guru. So Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us by his prayers and by his example that we should not ask Lord Krishna for anything material. We should not try to do business with the Lord. We should only love him and serve him for his pleasure. That is all. This is the real standard of religion. This is the real standard of bhakti or devotion. This is true spiritual life, where we serve Lord Krishna without any motivation. And as Gopal said, yes, we should be willing to do this everywhere and anywhere. For a devotee, it does not make a difference. Wherever the devotee goes, whether it is Melbourne or Sydney or India or Africa, whether it is in the airplane or on the ground, at home or on the street, the devotee is always chanting Krishna's name and thinking about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada used to tell one story. There are a lot of children today, so I will tell more stories. And many grown-up children also, because we all like to hear stories. So one time there was a sadhu. Prabhupada used to tell this story many times. So one time there was a sadhu who was sitting with his disciples under a tree. And as he was sitting and talking, one prince, the son of a king, he happened to come by on his horse. So the prince saw the sadhu, so he got down from his horse and he offered his pranam, his respects to the sadhu, and said, please give me your blessings. Because you see, it is a custom in India that when people approach sadhus, they want some blessings. Usually the blessings they ask for are very materialistic blessings. Anyway, we'll come to that a little later. So he asked for some blessings. So the sadhu said, Rajaputra Chiranjiva. O son of the king, may you live for a long, long life. May you forever live. Sometimes when the youngsters come to the elders will bless them as saying, Chiranjivi Bhava. This kind of blessing sometimes the elders give, that may you live a long life. So this sadhu also gave this blessing, Rajputra Chiranjiva. May you live forever, O son of the prince, O son of the king. Then the prince went away. After that came a brahmachari. The brahmachari came, he was a very austere brahmachari. He used to perform many penances and austerities, live a very simple life. And he was very hard working. So when he came, he saw the sadhu. So he said, oh yes, let me offer my respects to the sadhu. So he came and offered his respects. Please give me blessings, O Mahatmaji. So the sadhu said, yes, I bless you. And my blessing to you is Mahajiva. In Sanskrit, the word ma means not or no. Just like the word maya. You have heard the word maya, isn't it? The word maya is composed of two parts, ma and ya. Ma means not. Maya means that which is not. So illusion. So when I say that I am the body, that is an untruth. It is not true, so therefore it is maya. So ma. So he said, Mahajiva. Mahajiva means don't live. In other words, what was the blessing? You die. So all the disciples are sitting with the sadhu, they were surprised. Why is our Gurudev giving such an instruction to this poor brahmachari, such an austere brahmachari, well behaved, everything is nice. To the king's son, the prince, he said, may you live forever, may you never die, he said like that. And to the poor brahmachari, he said, you die. That is a very, what is a strange reason, a strange curse. So anyway, the disciples kept quiet. Then after some time, a butcher came there. You know who is a butcher? Better you don't know, but anyway, I think you know. At least here you will see many butchers. In India also, so many butchers now. So the butcher came. Fortunately, the butcher also had some piety in him. So he came and offered his respects to the sadhu. And then he said, please give me your blessings. So the sadhu gave the blessing. My blessing to you is ma jiva ma mara. You don't live and you don't die also. Very strange blessing. So the disciples were even more confused. Now how to understand this? Anyway, still they kept quiet. And then one devotee was coming along. He had come from not Melbourne, from this Bhakti Bhiksha. And he was walking by. And just like all of you are doing, like he was chanting Hare Krishna, and going on. So he saw the sadhu. So naturally, devotees of Krishna are very humble and they want to offer their respects to saintly people. So this devotee from Melbourne, he came and offered his respects to the sadhu. And then later he said, please give me your blessings. So the sadhu gave him the blessing. He said, my blessing to you is Jivova Marova. May you either live or you may die. You either live or you die. Then the devotee went back to Melbourne. Meanwhile, the disciples, this time they could not hold back. It was too much for them. These four different kinds of blessings, they just could not understand. So that Guru Maharaj, now you please solve this mystery for us. You please tell us what is the meaning and the secret behind these four types of blessings. The prince, you told him, live forever, but the poor brahmachari, you said, you die now. It is a blessing or a curse, we don't understand. And then the butcher, you said, you neither live or die. And to the devotee, you said, you either live or you die. So the sadhu smiled. He said, I will explain to you. He said, you see, as a sadhu, I have to wish well for everyone. I wish the welfare of all living beings. I don't like to see people in distress or people who are unhappy. So I always try to give a blessing that will keep people happy. Now, this prince came to me. Now he has become a prince because he had performed many pious activities in the previous lives. So he got this position of a prince. But having become a prince, then he indulged in so many sinful activities. You know, people who have a lot of money and wealth and position, many times they misuse the money for all sorts of enjoyment. They commit so many sins. So this prince also was enjoying the worldly pleasures in such a way. So the sadhu said, I understood. Because of his money and position and so on, he has committed so many sins that he will go to hell after he dies. So poor fellow, I don't want him to go to hell. So I blessed him, may you live forever, because so long as you live, at least you will have the life of a prince. At least you are not in hell. So that was the reason I blessed the prince like this. Then what about the poor brahmachari? You should have blessed the brahmachari also like that. So he said, no. The reason for blessing the brahmachari like this is, see, he is living such a life of austerity. So much hardship he has taken upon himself. He gets up early in the morning, then sleeps late, he hardly sleeps anything, he hardly eats anything. So much of austerities he does. Whole day he is busy doing some tapasya, some penance. But because he has lived such a pure life, he is going to be liberated from this world. He will not take birth again. So then I told him, you better die, because anyway you are headed for liberation. You will not take birth again in this material world. So why live on for so many years and just have this trouble of doing this austerity here? So I blessed him. Ma jiva, you don't live, that is, you die. So the disciples understood. He said, all right. But what about this butcher who came? Why did you bless him? That ma jiva, ma mara, don't live, don't die. He said, look, this butcher, is living in hell now. Why so? Because he's cutting animals all day long. Isn't it? You have seen a place, especially in India, sometimes in some cities you can see when the butcher is sitting and cutting the animals, he's surrounded by flesh and blood and such a dirty place and such a dirty smell. The smell of flesh and blood, all around there is violence. So it is like a hell where poor innocent animals are slaughtered instead of being protected. So where such cruelty exists, where there is so much of bloodshed and killing, it's like hell. So he said that even as he is living in hell. So I told him, don't live, because at least you will not live in hell then. But the problem is that when he dies, he will definitely go to hell also. So I told him, don't die also. So when he's living, he's in hell. After he dies, he will go to hell. So in both situations, he's in hell. So I told him, you better not live, you better not die. So the disciples understood. Yeah, what about that devotee from North Melbourne who had come from the Bhakti Viksha? He was such a nice, blissful devotee. He was chanting Hare Krishna Kirtan so nicely. What about him? Why did you bless him? Jehovah, Marova? You see, because such nice devotees of Krishna, they are always chanting Hare Krishna. They are always thinking of Krishna, always serving Krishna. Wherever they go, they will serve Krishna. Whether it's in Melbourne or Singapore or Japan or Africa or heavenly planets or hell, they will be chanting Hare Krishna. So for the devotee of the Lord, it does not make a difference where he is. Wherever he goes, he will be chanting Lord Krishna's names. So my blessings make no difference for him, because he will be doing the same business wherever he goes, chanting the holy names of the Lord. So this is the position of the pure devotees. They only want to serve Krishna wherever they are, in all circumstances, in all times. Srila Prabhupada used to say that in Bengal there is a kind of an agricultural implement that is called a dheki in Bengali language, that is used for threshing the grains. So that machine is used only for one purpose and for nothing else. That thing can't do anything else. So Prabhupada used to say that there is a proverb that says that if a dheki is taken to Swargaloka, the heavenly planets, it will still thresh grains only there. It will not do something different because it is in Swargaloka. Now it will not think, I'm a dheki of a Swargaloka, so I will just do something else. No, it will continue to thresh grains. Similarly, the devotee of Krishna, he will always continue to serve Krishna and love Krishna, chant Hare Krishna wherever he is or she is. Does it make a difference? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a wonderful pastime of a great devotee of the Lord called Chitraketu. One time Chitraketu was flying in his airplane, just like today so many planes are flying, no? Low level they were flying. And he was flying in his airplane, but that airplane was much better than these airplanes. There was no noise, it was much better to look at. And as he was flying, he came across Lord Shiva, who was sitting with Parvati Devi, and he was addressing a group of sages, and he was speaking Harikatha to them. And Chitraketu Maharaj was very astonished to see this sight, because here are all these renunciant sages, renounced monks, and here is Lord Shiva, who is a householder, and he is sitting with his wife right next to him, and he is preaching to these renounced sages, these sannyasis. How wonderful! How wonderful is Lord Shiva! What an exalted personality he is. So in his mind, Chitraketu Maharaj was thinking like this. He was actually glorifying Lord Shiva. And because of that astonishment of seeing this, he laughed loudly. Laughed out of appreciation. Oh, how wonderful. But by the Lord's arrangement, Parvati Devi heard it and she mistook that. She thought that Chitraketu Maharaj is laughing at her husband. Now, no wife likes it if somebody laughs at her husband. So she became very angry. She said, how dare this king come and laugh at my husband and insult him in this way? So all this was going on by the arrangement of Lord Krishna, some divine plan of the Lord. So Parvati Devi cursed King Chitraketu on the spot. She said, I curse you that you will become a demon, an asura in your next life. Immediately this curse will take effect. King Chitraketu was astonished. Lord Shiva was astonished. All the assembled sages were also astonished. Why has Parvati Devi given such a curse, such a deadly curse, that he was a big king living in the higher planets even, and now he gets the curse to become a demon, an asura? And there was a tumult and everyone saying, oh, alas, alas, what has happened, what has happened? Lord Shiva was watching quietly what is going on. But Chitraketu Maharaj heard this very clearly. He did not go to the lawyers. He did not call the police. He did not go and fight with Parvati Devi. I am such a great devotee. How dare you curse me like this? I will show you. I will take revenge. I will also curse you. Or he did not think, what is my fault? I was intending to actually appreciate Lord Shiva, but you mistook me and you wrongly cursed me. I am actually innocent. No, he did not bother. He did not waste his time doing all these things. He was such an exalted devotee that he understood that this is Lord Krishna's plan. Otherwise, how is it possible that someone as exalted, as glorious as Mother Parvati can lose her temper and curse me like this? When she is sitting and hearing Bhagavatam from Lord Shiva and all the sages are present in such an assembly, how could someone like Mother Parvati do this? No, it's not possible. This must be the Lord's plan. So he immediately got down from his plane, came in front of Mother Parvati, folded his hands, bowed down to her, offered his respects to her and said, Mother, please forgive me for my offense. I accept your curse on my head, Shirodhari. There is a saying in Sanskrit, when you accept somebody's wish or his order, you say Shirodhari. Shirodhari means I accept your words on my head, which means I will obey. I will fulfill your desire. So now it was Mother Parvati's turn to become astonished. She was thinking, my God, just look at this person. He is not in the least upset or disappointed or angry or sad or frustrated. He is so peaceful. In fact, he looks happy. He doesn't look disturbed that he is going to take birth as an asura in the next life. Here he has such a high position as the king, the emperor. And now he is going to become an asura, but he is not at all worried about it. So Chitraketu Maharaj left. At that time Lord Shiva was smiling to himself. He also understood this is the Lord's plan. And he understood also Parvati Devi's astonishment. So he told her, O Devi, there is nothing to be astonished about. And then he spoke one verse. Narayana paraha sarve na kutaschana vidyati svarga pavarga narkeshu abhituliyartha darshinaha. The meaning of this verse is that those who are devotees of Lord Narayan or Lord Krishna, Narayana paraha, so those who are Narayana paraha, sarve, all these devotees, all these pure devotees of Lord Narayan or Lord Krishna, na kutaschana bibhyati. Bibhyati means afraid. Kutaschana means at any time or in any place. So the pure devotees of Lord Krishna or Lord Narayan are never afraid in any circumstances in life, because they are always remembering Krishna with love and devotion. Svarga, whether they are in Svarga Loka, in the heavenly planets, Apavarga, or whether they are liberated from the cycle of birth and death, Narakeshu, or even if they are in Naraka Loka, in hell, Abhi Tulya Artha Darshinaha, they see all these places as equal. Whether they are in Melbourne, or Vrindavan, or hell, or Swarga, or Brahma Loka, with a pure devotee of the Lord, it does not make a difference. Why? Because a pure devotee of the Lord does the only thing that he knows, which is to serve Krishna with love and devotion. So this is the glory of the devotees of Lord Krishna. So how wonderful it is that such glorious things are observed in the lives of the devotees. So the process of devotion is so powerful that the devotees acquire all these wonderful qualities. They become very pure-hearted, and Lord Krishna empowers them with all these very, very nice qualities. So this is the standard of pure devotion, of devotion that does not have any material motives, that is only pure, only meant for the service of Lord Krishna. When we do not understand the principle of pure devotional service, then life becomes very difficult. Even if one is a mixed devotee of the Lord, one will not be freed from the troubles of this world. Because this world is called Pavarga. In this verse, we had the statement, Svarga Pavarga Narakeshu. Svarga Apavarga and Narakeshu. Apavarga refers to the state of liberation. Because Pavarga is the material world, and Apavarga is the state beyond this material world. How many of you have heard of this word Pavarga? Pavarga, anyone has heard? Pavarga, yes. Pavarga refers to what? To which place?
Parishrama?
No. Pavarga refers to which place?
Material
world. Yes, Pavarga refers to the material world. And why does it refer to the material world? Now I think, except those who are born and raised in Australia, most of you seem to have been born and raised in India. So you know ka kha ga gha na, isn't it? Everybody knows. Yes?
Yes.
So ka kha ga gha na, that is ka varga. Yes? Ta tha da tha na is ta varga. So similarly, pa pha ba bha ma is pa varga. So this material world is called pa varga because it is pa pha ba bha ma. And I say, what is very strange? How is this material world pa pha ba bha ma? We have heard so many descriptions of this world, but how come this world is pa pha ba bha ma? So the Shastras explain, the word pa, the alphabet pa, stands for Parishrama. In this world, everyone has to work hard. No one, even the king of the country, cannot just sit back and think, I will not have to work. All have to struggle in this world. There is a proverb in the Hitopadesha which says, Nahi suktasya singhasya pravishanti na mukhe mrigaha. that even if the lion is considered the king of the forest, still he cannot think that because I'm the king, I can just sit down quietly, keep my mouth open, and the food will walk into my mouth. Will it happen? If the lion thinks, I am the king, all the prey should come into my mouth, I am the king, all the food should automatically come. Will it come? No. So even the lion or the tiger, they have to struggle so much to find their food. So everyone has to struggle in this world a lot. Parishrama. Even if one has a lot of money, still one has to struggle. Whether one is a king or a commoner, struggle is always there. So this is the first characteristic of the material world. Pa. The next is, what comes after pa? Pa. So what is the meaning of pa? What does pa stand for? Pena, pena. Because like a donkey when he works very hard, then there is foam at the mouth, that is called pain. So because people are working so hard, they are like foaming at the mouth. In other words, that they are working like what? Oh, you said, I did not. Huh? Working hard like donkeys in this world. That is how the scriptures are explaining, that this is the condition of people in this world. Pa. Unnecessarily working, needlessly working. In Singapore, I was telling this story. You know, one time there was one donkey. Since anyway the term donkey came up, I will tell you a story about some donkeys. So one time, there was this donkey who was just eating grass somewhere, and he met his old school friend. His classmate, also a donkey. They had met after many years. So naturally, after 20, 30 years, when you meet your old school friend, you are very happy and you start talking about many things and what have you been doing and what are you doing now. So they exchange notes like this. Then the second donkey asked the first donkey, what do you do? He said, I am working for this washerman. Who is a dhobi? Dhobi, you know dhobi, washerman. And I work hard for him. And every day I carry the clothes that he has to wash from his house to the riverside. He washes the clothes there in the river. And then I bring back the clothes. And then it happens like this several times a day. And then he gives me some grass to eat, and I'm happy. So the other donkey said, but I also eat only grass, but I don't have to work for any donkey, I'm happy. I'm just roaming here and there and grass is freely available and I eat that grass. So why do you have to work so much unnecessarily? Ah, I will tell you a secret, the first donkey said. What is that secret because of which you work so hard, foaming at the mouth, because the washerman is always beating you, go faster, and carrying such a big load on your back? He said, you know, the washerman has a daughter. One time this daughter, she makes a big mistake. So the washerman became very angry with her, and he scolded her very badly. And he said, if you make this mistake again, I will marry you to my donkey. So the donkey said, I am waiting for that day. Therefore, I don't mind working hard, foaming at the mouth. So this is the situation of materialistic people in this world who work hard day and night for a so-called happy future that will never come. That is an illusion. It is a dream. The happiness in the material world cannot exist, but still everybody is working hard day and night. And they have no time for Krishna consciousness. So So that is the latest disease in the world. The biggest disease is not HIV or TB or something. The disease is, Prabhuji, please come for satsang, no time. Please come to the temple, no time. Please chant Hare Krishna in your house, no time. There is time to watch TV. There is time to sleep for many, many hours. Time to eat sumptuously, but no time to serve Krishna. So this is the tragedy of the material world. So in any case, pa. And what is next? Ba. What does ba stand for? Ba. Ba means bandhana. Bandhana means bondage. B for bondage or ba for bandhana. Because we work so hard in this material world, many times we have to do sinful activities to obtain happiness in this life and to avoid the distress. So because we are performing these activities, sometimes sinful and sometimes pious, so we have to receive the reactions to those activities. In order to receive the reactions of our karma, we have to take birth again. So this janma mrityu bandhana, this bondage of birth and death, is caused because of karma bandhana. Because I'm performing actions and there are reactions. So one becomes bound to the cycle of birth and death. One has to keep on accepting bodies one after the other. And then pa, and then bha. Bha means bhiti or bhaya. Bhaya means fear. Everybody is fearful in this material world. Fearful of what? When will everything be taken away from me? I don't want to die. I don't want to grow old. I don't want anything unpleasant to happen in my life. So we're always afraid of something or the other, all the time. This is the nature of this world. So bha, bhaya. Pa, pa, ba, bha. And finally there is ma, for money, what is it? Ma for mrityu. Mriti or mrityu. Then the whole story is finished. The dream is broken. The bubble is burst. When death comes, all our dreams become zero. And then again we start the next life. Pa, 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 ma. And it goes on and on. So if someone were to say the history of this material world, they don't teach in any history subject in the schools like this. I'm sure they don't tell you that history means pa, pa, ba, ba, ma. That's all there is. So if you want to summarize the whole story of this world in one word, you can say it is pa, pa, ba, ba, ma, which means pavarga. That is why this world is called pavarga. But when you become a devotee of Lord Krishna, a pure devotee, then you are not obliged to take birth again. Rather, you will be taken back to Krishna's abode. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatpatah tyaktva deham punarjanma neti mameti sojana. O Arjuna, one who understands me in essence, in truth, understands the divine nature of my activities and my birth, he never has to take birth again in this material world. Rather, he comes back to me, to my abode in the spiritual world. So in this way, one should try to solve all the problems of life by the most intelligent and effective way, which is to become pure devotees of Krishna. This is the highest thing we can achieve in our life. There is nothing higher than this, nothing more glorious than this. We should not think, oh, this path of bhakti is very simple, it is for only sentimental people, but I would like to do something that involves so much intelligence. No, there is a lot of philosophy here. The path of bhakti is meant for everyone. It is actually meant for the most intelligent people. All of you are the most intelligent because you have all become devotees of Krishna. Because you are performing devotional service with so much sincerity and enthusiasm. So please continue to perform your devotional service like this. Become pure devotees and make your life perfect. I am very, very happy to see all of you. I think this Bhakti Vriksha program is run by Jagannath Ram Prabhu and Yamuna Leela Devi. Yes?
Yes.
And so they are doing very nice service and they are helping all of you in your Krishna consciousness, and all of you very sincerely are also taking up the process. So please continue this. Please read Srila Prabhupada's books very carefully every day. Chant your Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on the Japa beads and also in the Kirtan. Associate with devotees regularly. Hear lectures. Perform various types of seva that you can. Be a humble servant of all the devotees. And in this way, you can perfect your life. I would also like to thank our hosts, Ashok, no? Ashok and Priyadi, yes? For their hospitality, because they have hosted us this evening and allowed us to use their house for this satsang, so we may all gather here and hear and chant about Krishna. So I will pray to Srila Prabhupada that he may kindly bless them and bless all of us as well who have gathered with pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask. Oh, nice long question. Okay. It says, please visit Melbourne again. Yes, I will come because I know the story of that sadhu's blessings. No, I know what kind of devotees are here in Melbourne. So to get the association, I will come. My first question is, during first seminar on Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, it was mentioned that in Satya Yuga people had their life in bone marrow and in Kali Yuga it is in Anna or grains. What about other two yugas? Yes, it is also something like that. It is an in-between category somewhere. In one place it is in the prana. Like that, so different stages. But Satya and Kali represent the two extremes. Material world is a place of so much distraction. So how to develop strong focus and faith in chanting to progress steadily on the path of bhakti? How to develop strong focus and faith? The most important principle is association of devotees. You will see this. The more you associate with devotees, the more you will advance in your life. The quicker you will progress in your life. And of course, when you come to the association of devotees, what should you do? That is important. When we say that you should associate with devotees, we don't simply mean you just come and sit together. Suppose some devotees get together and say, let us go to the cinema. And then you say, well, we were with devotees, satsanga. Yes, you were with devotees, but you did not do any devotional activity. You were together in Maya, not together in Krishna consciousness. So when we say that we should associate with devotees, we mean that we should associate with devotees in Krishna consciousness. We should talk about Krishna, hear about Krishna, serve Krishna together. Second, we should chant our 16 rounds minimum of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra very strongly, very sincerely. Try to do it as attentively as possible. This will give us strong faith and determination. The third, also try to hear lectures regularly, attentively. Whenever you come to satsang or to the temple, you can hear. Nowadays you can hear electronically also, on CD player or internet, like that. So hear it regularly. Next point, make your home a small temple of the Lord, and all the family members should gather together at least once a day, if not twice a day, for doing some kirtan in the temple of the house. And at least once a day, somebody should read for a few minutes from one of Srila Prabhupada's books, like the Bhagavad Gita or the Bhagavatam, and speak for a few minutes about this. Even the children should be present there, and the elders should also come. All the family members should sit. This will create a very nice atmosphere, and doing this kirtan, which is the Yuga Dharma, will help us become very strong and fixed in Krishna consciousness. And last but not the least, one should read Srila Prabhupada's books regularly, carefully, sincerely. And you will see, you will make very quick advancement. Second question. As a householder, how can we effectively reach out to bring people to Krishna consciousness? Number one, by first of all becoming a good devotee ourselves. Secondly, by setting a good example to the others. And thirdly, by reaching out to them and speaking to them when they are willing to hear us. In this way, other people will be attracted to Krishna consciousness. Since there are many questions, very nice. Very systematic. Yes. How to raise children in Krishna consciousness in this Catholic education? Recently I was in Pune, and in Pune they have just published a book which contains articles from many, many devotees from around the ISKCON world. And that is called The Art of Parenting. So many, many articles are there on how to raise children. Perhaps if you obtain that book from Pune, then it will be helpful to many of our Grihasthas who have children. It will give you many, many, huh?
We are trying to
get that book. So there are many, many helpful things you can learn over there. But one thing I can say is, raising children in Krishna consciousness means you have to set the example. First and most important. Second is that you have to involve them with children of their age so that they find Krishna consciousness a fun-loving experience. Thirdly, encourage them in their Krishna consciousness by engaging them in different practical services and sadhana and so on. Create such a nice spiritual atmosphere in the home that even though they may have some material education outside, their sanskaras will become strong enough for them to get not too much affected by that. Yes. In this book, they asked me to write the foreword. So I wrote the foreword. And in the foreword, I shared one little anecdote. That many years ago, I had gone to the house of one very senior Grihastha devotee, very nice devotee. And he had a teenage son. And as soon as I went in there in the hall, I saw a nice colorful poster. It was a printed poster, available commercially. But it had a nice slogan on it with some nice picture in the background. And the slogan was, by the time you realize your parents were right, you have children who think you are wrong. Happens not to everyone. Then I understood that this devotee is having some problem with his son. That he has put up this poster for the benefit of his son. So that his son may read that and learn something. So yes, this is the way of life. It's always like that. But it's a very important skill to learn. And especially in this very materialistic environment that we are living in outside, we have to do the best we can. Okay, another question. When I take prasadam to office, people eat prasadam and then immediately eat non-veg. Not sure if I'm doing the correct thing. Please advise. You are doing a very correct thing. Don't worry, continue. At least they are eating prasadam. What they may eat after that, you can't control. But at least they are eating prasadam. And slowly by eating more and more prasadam every day, one day they will become like you. They will become a nice devotee of Krishna. There are some people, if you tell them it is prasad, they will not take it. But if you tell them it is a birthday cake or something, they will happily eat it. It is said that the whole universe is Maya. If so, what do we do, like reading scriptures, satsangs, etc., also Maya? No, the whole universe is not Maya. The whole universe is Krishna's energy. The material energy. The whole universe can be Maya or it can be true depending on our vision. If we think that this material world is to be used only for our enjoyment, then it is Maya. But if we understand that this material world is Krishna's property, Krishna's energy, and must be used in the service of Krishna, then this material world is not Maya. Then we can use whatever there is in this world in the service of Krishna. How to control our mind while chanting? By not stopping chanting. By going on chanting. And never saying chanting. There was a joke in the cartoon in the Back to Godhead many, many years ago. One person, devotee, is telling another person, chant, chant, chant. And the other person is saying, can't, can't, can't. So there is chanting and there is canting. So don't stop chanting and never do canting. Just keep on chanting and the holy name will work. Please advise how to improve reading habits, meaning Srila Prabhupada's books on a regular basis. Very easy. Just read. Just do it. You should not think so much about it. Just do it. Be on the platform of action. It is so easy. Once you start doing it, then you will develop the taste for it, then you will not like to stop it. But study them seriously. How can I stop the mind's constant chattering? You can't stop the mind's constant chattering. You can only change the subject of the chattering. Instead of chattering something mundane, you make it chatter Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That's all. That is how you can control the mind. Right? What is the best way to encourage non-devotee family members to start serving Krishna? Yes. An Indian problem. Again, by setting a good example, number one. Number two, by putting them at ease, so that whatever wrong impressions they may have will go away slowly. By introducing them to other sincere devotees, so they also get their doubts, get further pacified and calmed down. Dealing with them very nicely, setting a good example, feeding them prasadam, and gradually their resistance will wear down. Second question. Also, many times they try to discourage you for going to satsang so often. How do we cope with such a situation? I will tell you what Narad Muni answered, so please don't blame me. Narad Muni, in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he advises Yudhishthir Maharaj on the duties of a householder. And he says, when all the relatives will start discouraging the householder, why are you doing this Krishna consciousness so much? It is too much. Once in a while you may go to the temple, but always temple, temple, always satsang, all the time Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What is this? You must be balanced. Sounds familiar? So at that time, what should you do? Narad Muni says, you should say, yes, yes, you are correct, but keep doing your Krishna consciousness. This is Narad Muni's answer. Don't fight with them. Just say, yes, yes. And if they are willing to listen to you, and explain nicely and sweetly to them, but don't quarrel unnecessarily. Yes. I am confused as to chanting the name of Krishna a few times better than inattentive chanting of 16 rounds. Okay. So the question probably means, should I chant a few attentive rounds or many inattentive rounds? 16 inattentive rounds. Two options. Few attentive rounds or 16 inattentive rounds. Which is the choice? The choice is 16 attentive rounds. If you can chant few attentive rounds, then you can start chant 16 attentive rounds. What is the problem? No problem. Just little effort you have to put in, that's all. If a wife is following Krishna consciousness and husband is not, will the wife share the karma of her husband's activities? Ayoyo. I have to be very careful answering such questions. I always hesitate to get in between husband and wife. No, don't worry. By the power of the wife's devotion, the husband also will be benefited very greatly. Because the wife is a devotee, even if the husband is doing some activities that are not quite correct, still the husband will get the benefit and eventually he will come around to accepting. So do not become discouraged. Keep doing your Krishna consciousness nicely. How to include Krishna in everyday life? How to become a pure devotee of the Lord? So you have asked the most important question, how to become a pure devotee of the Lord? Yes, so by doing the things that we mentioned earlier, following Srila Prabhupada's wonderful program that he has given us all, and how to include Krishna in everyday life, again by doing the same things, have the temple in your house, offer the foodstuffs to Krishna before you eat, have the morning and evening kirtan and program with your family, or have the satsangs like this, go to the temple, do seva, read, chant japa. In this way you can keep Krishna in the center of your life. But yes, there is only one center you have. You cannot have a circle, can have only one center. So keep only Krishna, don't try to squeeze in many other things along with Krishna. Then it will be difficult. Krishna says, Mam ekam sharanam raja. Surrender to me alone. So don't try to keep many other things to whom you want to surrender also, along with Krishna. Please explain the responsibility of a grihastha in Krishna consciousness. Big question. Griha, staha, ashrama. By staying in your griha, in your house, make your house an ashram of Krishna. You know what an ashram is. What is an ashram? An ashram is a place that is holy, where spiritual practices go on. Ashraya. Where there is ashray or shelter of the Supreme Lord, that is an ashrama. So make your house an ashram. That is the grihastha ashram. All the four ashrams are meant to be like that. Okay? Yes, anything else? I have to deal with a devotee whose husband is against Krishna consciousness. Can you please guide me how I could continue to persuade this devotee so that it does not hurt their relationship? They have forgotten the word not. The meaning becomes opposite, no? Please guide me how I should persuade this devotee to hurt their relationship. See, even they doesn't like hurting relationship between husband and wife. Well, you have to deal very intelligently. Don't start criticizing the husband too hard. Oh, your husband is such and such. No, don't do like that. You encourage her, support her, guide her, tell her to continue to do her duties as nicely, as properly as before, as always. That should not change. Her behavior at home should be exactly the same, as good as it was before, rather it should become better. And she should just set such a good example as a wife, as a human being, as a devotee, then things will slowly improve. Any other questions? Let's see. How do we get out of Maya without chanting? See, you want shortcuts, no? By chanting. Okay, I'll tell you. You serve the devotees. Simply serve the devotees and take prasadam. Then everything will happen. Once you serve the devotees, then you can become free from Maya. Hare Krishna. But still we'll chant. Now. Okay? So shall we do Sankirtan?
Maharaj, I have a question.
Yes.
If a person doing anything newly, how we can understand it is his past karma or he is doing a new thing?
How can you tell the difference if somebody is doing a new thing or if he's doing?
Yeah, it depends on the past karma he is doing or he is suffering. Or how we can say that it is a new thing he is doing freshly.
Doing or experiencing?
He's doing.
If he is doing something, it means that there is some connection with the past. The present always has a connection with the past. For example, somebody has started to drink alcohol. There is some connection previously. This life, previous life, some sanskar is there. But that sanskar can be overcome by the practice of Krishna consciousness. So there is some connection with some karma. Otherwise, why is it that one person does it, the other person doesn't do it? Two friends, one starts drinking alcohol, the other does not drink alcohol. Even though they are studying together, everything. There is something in the past. So if we take to Krishna consciousness, then these things can be overcome. Okay?
If the other person whatever he is doing, like say suppose one person murdered the other person. So the person who did the murder, as he doing a new activity or is his past karma, how we can understand this? If the other person suffered, okay, we can say that his past life is with that.
The question is, if somebody has committed a murder, is it that it's because of past karma or is it a new activity? It is both. New activity, because even if the situation he was in was very provocative, he still had a choice to not murder. But he murdered. So he had his free will, but he used it in this way by committing the murder. So it is an act he has done now by the misuse of his free will. On the other hand, this tendency or propensity is also connected to his past and his past karma. Therefore, he could think of such a thing and actually do such a thing. And also, perhaps it was in his karma that he would do such a thing and have to face the suffering of that. So it is probably both. But either way, he is responsible. Because even if it is karma, it is still karma performed by him. So he is responsible for that. Therefore, better to not commit the murder. Better to chant Hare Krishna. That's safer alternative. Okay, so we will chant Sadhu Sankirtan for a few minutes. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.